The Guardian.
We're in a huge room with a really high ceiling. A huge white room. And it's the first part of an exhibition called Big Buildings, Models and Views. And what you see is what you get. Because in this huge space, there are other buildings, one of which some people might recognise, because it once stood on top of a plinth in Trafalgar Square, the model for a hotel by the German artist Thomas Schutter. And I must say, reinstalled inside a building, model for hotel with its layers of coloured perspex and glass, the whole structure taking on something like a form of a human being, is much more successful than when it stood amongst the traffic and the pigeons in London. In fact, it looks glorious. And it does look like a model. A model for a hotel that'll never be built. And nearby is a house. And rather than being something we just look at, we can go inside. Ah, groovy! It's a very modernistic, rather than modernist, house with kind of slanty walls and a fireplace that's all angular and post-cubist and futuristic. And the fire is laid with little logs very neatly, and there are little stools to sit on next to it. Another wall, which I think divides us from a kitchen area. And all these interior parts are all made of chipboard. Very, very well constructed, but chipboard nonetheless. But the outside walls of the house are all tightly stretched scrim, blues and yellows and reds, and through which one can dimly perceive not just the other works, but the people wandering around inside this big gallery space. In the distance, I can see angels dangling freely in the light. I can see a figure who looks almost Chinese, much taller than I am, staring somewhat balefully at a scaffold-like structure, a big... Looks like maybe it's an observatory. We could actually go up there and inside it, I think. That'd be quite a fun view up there. Let's go and talk to the angels. Schutter is a magnificent artist, I think. In his mid-50s now. He's had three huge exhibitions in the last 12 months. One in the Haus der Kunst in Munich, one at the Museum of the Reina Sofia in Madrid, and now here in Bonn, not far from where he lives in Düsseldorf. Okay, we're now standing under the angels. These are Schutter's latest works, and they're unlike anything by him I've ever seen. They look like brand new kitchen implements dangling from a kind of carousel, which is supported up way up high by the ceiling. And they dangle almost to head height. They're birds as much as angels. But they also look something out of the kitchen drawer. Shiny, stainless steel, a sort of origami of metal with upraised wings. And stupid, stupid heads that look like they're nothing so much as carved out of polystyrene. I think it's silicon, but they're very bizarre. And one of these is dedicated, or going to be given, or is destined for, it's going to fly to, this is what angels do, to a church whose pastor, according to the artist, is a strange guy, the only priest he knows who wears Prada shoes. Do we trust priests in Prada? I don't know. But these angels glimmer and fold and unfold and glow and reflect the light magnificently. They're peculiar things. Much of this exhibition is devoted to Schutter's models. And he's been making architectural models for a kind of fantasy architecture throughout his career. I mean, his work is so broad. He makes big figurative sculptures in bronze and iron and steel, reclining nudes, standing ghosts, figures that look like Michelin Man, strange little tiny figures that dart about amongst your feet, watercolours, fantastic craftsman. And here in a room full of models on tabletops, buildings that look like chicken coops, dovecots, barracks, strange, perhaps 18th or 19th century ideas of what the future might look like, science fiction bunkers, some painted, some unpainted, buildings that have the cast about them of Piranesi or of M.C. Escher, endless staircases made in wood that disappear down from below the level of the tabletop. Places then of the imagination, places you might have seen in the distance as you drive through the German or Italian countryside, buildings whose purpose you'll never understand. It's all very vigorous, very well done, but with a kind of weird humour and sinister. In a back room there's a couple of dogs. They don't look much like dogs. One has a sort of German helmet on its back, or perhaps it's a snail's shell. Room after room of these models. This almost might be a storage, some of these side rooms. A storage for the architect whose works will never be built. What's the difference between architecture and sculpture? Perhaps there isn't one. Perhaps the artist is having his revenge on architecture by making things that are funnier, wilder, weirder. Things that look like mountains. Things that look like sections of golf balls. Things with tunnels burrowed into them. But we keep coming back as we wander, returning and returning to this huge space, this magnificent space, where the models are bigger than human beings, where the models are on that edge between the fabrication, the model, and the real, the really real. What's real? Do we know what's real? We know it's here somewhere. It's what we encounter, isn't it? And here is an area which has been cordoned off with big sort of octagon with a big skylight way high above us. I don't know how many meters up it goes. And here's a big surprise, a very big surprise. A man in mud, it's called. He looks more like a boy, a very big boy. That must be 6 or 7 meters tall, staring implacably in front of him, his eyes slightly downcast, all made of plaster. And he's called Man in Mud because he's up to his shins in plaster. So he's like a boy wading through mud. In a little jacket affair that comes down halfway to his knees, staring ahead, just a little downward. His hands in front of him, and they're holding two sticks, or one stick that's been bent. He's holding it like a water diviner. One of those people who hold bits of willow and wander through fields looking for watercourses underground. So the boy wades through the mud, concentrating on these, on this stick in his hand, and it just pokes out in front of him above my head. It must be about almost 3 meters above the floor. Perhaps he's divining for me. Perhaps he's looking for my soul. Not sure I've got one. Looking straight up, he's like a Buddha, this boy. And I can see right up his nostrils, into his ears. And his eyes seem to just cast their gaze into the nothing above me. And he's very beautifully made. And one of the things I think about Schutter's work that's so great is the sense of scale. And no matter how big the works are, some are very small, some you could carry around, others like this have this incredible monumental quality, and yet they're also somehow weightless. That there's nothing lost. You know, the degree of detail is just right. Not too much, just enough. Little creases around the knuckles, slight imperfections and asymmetries in the face, the folds of the jacket and the buttons, just detailed enough. He's right. It's all right for the size he is. And there's a difference, of course, between size and scale. And he's wading through mud effortlessly, standing in the mud, standing in white plaster mud, forever in the light. It's really wonderful. And you come from that and wander out, and there are more models. Something like a dog kennel. Not quite sure what kind of dog would live in there. And another man in mud, much smaller this time, on a plinth. And he's made of patinated bronze. And you can see all the flakes of bronze metal where he's come, when he's come out of the cast. And nails in the body from the armature, from the casting process. Bit like Saint Sebastian. This man looks almost as if he's been in some great and terrible fire, which of course he has, being a bronze cast. Are they all self-portraits of the artist? The artist as man in mud. The artist who makes houses for terrorists and hotels for the birds. The thing about Schutter is that he's free. He's one of those artists who you feel is free to do what he wants, and he does, but with humour and wit, a lightness and a sadness, a melancholy and a gravity, and a joyousness altogether. It's really magnificent. Can't think of anything better. Doesn't get better than this, does it?
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.